wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning, the very end of January, January 31st, 2015. And we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, and it's a little snowy out this morning, and but that's kind of the time of year it is, and that's the way it goes. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And John's off doing something with his boys this morning. He had a little event to do, and so he let us know he wouldn't be here, but he'd sure be thinking about us, and we welcome you, the remnant. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307 745-5913. But you know, let's open up with prayer first, and then we'll just have to see where we go from there. That's kind of how we do it here on Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, this snowy day here at the Radio Ranch, and Lord, the good weather that you send in its season. We say good morning to you, Lord. We ask that you would be with us here, that you'd guide and direct our thoughts, our hearts, and our words. Lord, as we have a good morning of fellowship with each other and with the remnant out there, Lord, and with you, Father, that you are a part of it. And Lord, we're thinking godly thoughts, and Lord, that we're doing our best to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, Lord, both here and the remnant out there. And Lord, that you would join us. That, Father, we're doing our best to walk on that straight and narrow in this dark and dreary world, Lord, where the enemies just rise up all around us, Lord, and they are just never ending in the strife that they cause. They're never ending in just trying to destroy every part, every vestige of Christianity that there is. Well, Lord, we know greater are you that are for us than anything that can come against us. Strengthen us, O Lord, strengthen your remnant out there. Give them the eyes to see, Lord, the ears to hear. We pray for for all of us, Lord, for wisdom and discernment, that you would let us see and understand what is going on in the world today, Lord. And Lord, let us not fear. And Lord, let the remnant not fear. Let us not fear what man thinks they can do. But Lord, let us fear and honor and revere you and trust in you. And we know if we can do that, Lord, and if we will do that, then there is deliverance and provision and protection that comes from your holy throne. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And, oh, tons going on out in the world. Current events, didn't know if anybody wanted to start off with some particular current events had been on their mind lately. I had a couple little things to talk about, but I'll sure hold off. I don't know, Kyle or Jason or...
Well, I thought it was interesting that Pope Francis, you know, the headlines this week were, or on some of the papers were Pope Francis, that he wants to do the one-day walk across the Mexican-U.S. border in support of immigrants. And, you know, basically he was saying this year, or the way the article came down is he was saying in an interview that he didn't have time to visit Mexico this year, but there's one thing that he wanted to do is he wanted to go into Mexico and make the one-day journey across Mexico into the United States and cross the border illegally, just like all these illegal immigrants have been doing. And, you know, he wants to do it in support of the children. And he says that the children should be welcomed and protected. You know, and, you know, just the, you know, it's like they promote, you know, they're illegal aliens. And here is somebody from Italy supporting illegal aliens invading our country with, you know, and saying that we should be the ones supporting and welcoming them. I mean, why don't they welcome them to their country and have these illegals come over there? But no, you know, it just shows you, it's just pretty obvious that they're part of the problem. And I think it's more just, I don't know, I thought it was really interesting. You know, I mean, just talk about how bold these terrors are anymore.
Oh, but Jason, that's in peace. When he does that, he's saying peace, peace to all. Let these peaceful children in. And you mentioned about his country. Well, you know, he's from South America, and they have very few borders down there. And then, being over in Italy and Rome and all that now, part of the, you know, the Europe's gone. Europe is finished. You know, this EU, European Union, It sure is a predecessor to the New World Order over there, the One World Religion, the UN regions, all of that. And they're pushing it hard here as well. And what better way than to show solidarity and love than, yeah, for the Antichrist Pope himself to come. And so I wonder, are they going to have the Pope Mobile drive across? Is he going to have his 300-member entourage drive across as well?
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's just, I mean, it just, you know, talk about invasion. It's
yeah.
You know, it's promoting invasion. You know, they do something in peace, but they're invading over, you know, it's an act of war is what it is. And they do it in the name of peace. And it's, you know, I mean, just talk about how, what business does anybody have to say, oh, go ahead and invade your country over there in a far-off land, and say, you know, well, you should allow these people in and promote invading another country. I mean...
No, they should arrest him as soon as he comes across the border.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
I don't care what he is.
You know, they talk so much about, oh, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do about that border. And that's just a lie. You know, there's been a very effective border between North and South Korea since the 50s. Very effective border, you know.
There's been very effective borders across a lot of countries.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, it was very hard to get out.
A minefield.
Yeah, it was very hard to get out of the Soviet Union from East Germany to West Germany. for about 35 years after World War II. And there in Korea, yeah, you got barbed wire on both sides, you got minefields, and anything that moves in the demilitarized zone in the middle gets shot. And it's a very effective way to keep people from going either way. But you're right, it's not a a solution is not what they're looking for. You know, we the American people still think, oh well, the Pope, maybe he'll help us with illegal immigration, and our current government, maybe they'll help keep these illegal aliens from invading us. And the American people are just blind, because it's the Pope that is encouraging the invasion. And it's our government that encourages it, that doesn't let the Border Patrol even patrol the border hardly anymore.
No, they don't. They don't.
Kyle, why do you think the people are blinded to that? I mean, it's... I mean, if you think that, well, I sure think that they are.
Being you put it that way, you know, I think of, you know, the Apostle Paul telling that God blinded them because of their actions, because that's what they want. You know, it's just like, why do we have the false prophets in the pulpits now? Is because that's what the people want. You know, and it all boils down to, you know, well, you said to me the other day, I don't remember which day it was, but you're like, the theme... You know, or the what did all the prophets come and keep saying? And it's the same age-old theme throughout the Bible, and that's repent or perish. And it all goes back to that. You know, I mean, even though the ones that are repenting, you know, I mean, I'm sure the ones that are repenting could repent more. You probably can never repent enough. But the ones that are repenting, it is frustrating. It's frustrating to see other people who don't know they're the problem, who don't want to look in the mirror, who always want to point the finger. But, you know, the basis of the whole... Well, the song... I mean, that song in the morning that we play, Coffee with Rewrite, that old wheel, that's going to happen. That's the encouraging part, you know. The wheel's going to come around. It's going to come around in our personal lives. It's going to come around as a nation. And it's going to come around as the church. The true church. That old wheel's going to come around and heads are going to roll. But in the meantime, it's frustrating to see all these... And everybody can look at it as a personal thing. Everybody has a loved one or a good friend or an acquaintance they care about that are just blind. And it's so frustrating. And we might be blind on some things. But it's so frustrating when you can see someone... blinded to the truth and blinded to seeing what's going on, blinded to the destroyers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and all you just want to wake them up. You know, pray against this and be aware and protect your own from it. You know what I mean, but you know, it's the same old thing that can't be said enough. And that is just like John the Baptist did out in the wilderness, yelling out, "Repent!" You know. And that's where it comes down to, as an individual, as a family, as a country, you know, and as a church. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and that has a few different facets to it.
Many different facets, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
And,
for sure.
And that's where it's got to begin, and that's where it is beginning. And that's, you know, and that's going to be how the wheel comes around.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, if the people would read their Bibles, not just the called out ones, not just the those that have had their eyes opened already, although it's very important for all of us to do that, and for the remnant out there, it's important for you to read the Word so that you can see what's happened, so that you can see what's happening now. But if every so-called Christian out there would open up their Bible and start reading, then... You know, I think that would go a long way to the people just have, they might not have the deeper understandings you hear people talk about, but at least you could see time after time that you had a people, that God had a people and he lifted them up and he blessed them, and then that old wheel rolled around and they forgot him and they started sinning like all the other people of the earth. and then they fell into captivity. They fell into economic hardships. They were getting killed by the sword. And then they cried out, they repented and cried out to him and changed their ways. They changed their ways. And then that old wheel rolls around again. And so then he delivers them. He stays the plagues. You know, he makes 185,000 of their enemies wake up dead in the morning. Time and time again. But it seems like within a few generations, if that, our people have always fallen back into that same cycle.
And be able to do that, to be able to repent, the first thing you have to do is know you have something you have to repent about.
Right.
You
know? You have to understand sin.
And too many of our people don't realize that, and they give the enemy too much power. And the enemy does have power. But if you're with God, if you're in Christ, it's laughable what their power is. I mean, it really is. But you know, it takes time to get into that way of thinking. You know, you gotta prepare yourself mentally. You know, not just physically. And I think you do have to physically too. But mentally, and understand that your enemy only has the power that God allows him to have. And when you understand that, when you really get down to, I mean, it's like when you read from Genesis on, you'll see the enemies of God win battles, but only when they're separated from their God, only when they've went out of his jurisdiction, out of his covering. You know, as soon as they get back in under where they need to be, the victory is theirs, and it's the same today. You know?
Yeah. I agree. So, Jason, when that happens, are you going to drive down and, you know, you and I have driven down to the border before. Are you going to drive down and walk across with them?
No, I'm not. I don't want to be anywhere near anything like that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's one of those things that it is. I guess it's more signs of the times and. Yeah. You know, more attacks, and you know, it's so interesting how they can constantly, you know, say, "Oh, this is an act of peace," when it's an act of war, and we see that all over in society, and we see that all over in the world right now. It's like, "Oh, this is an act of peace." No, it's an act of war. Oh, this is an act of war. No, it's an act of peace. It's you look at, and you know, I think about 90% of the time you can. Look at what they're saying and what their output is on it, and you can almost take the 180% degree of view of it, you know, and then you might be close to accurate. And that's just, I mean, it's gotten more and more like that, you know, recently than ever before. I mean, some of these headlines, it's like you look at these headlines and you see this stuff that's taking place, and it's like, you know, 5 years ago you didn't see it. 2 years ago you didn't see it. It's just, you know, it's things have changed so drastically. And it's interesting, you know, and I think that, you know, it's one thing to, you know, read your Bible, you know, and that's good, and we're encouraging that like crazy. But another thing to do is to pray for understanding and pray for wisdom and pray for that Holy Spirit to guide you, because, you know, those tools, equipped with those tools together, is makes things just, you know, that much more powerful. And you know, I think that it's extremely important right now to pray for discernment. I think discernment is one thing that's really lacking, just, you know, pretty much straight across the board in different aspects of life. And I think that, you know, those are the things that we need to remember to pray for, is discernment, for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, and, you know, continue to you know, recognize, you know, greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And, you know, cling to that and, you know, walk in that. And we got to get to the point where we just walk in that. We know it. We believe it. We understand it. You know, it's our second nature. And you know, I think I mean, it's been really encouraging for me because I've seen how many people, I've talked to several people that are doing this Bible reading program, and, you know, that's really encouraging. I talked to, it was interesting because I talked to a veterinarian down the road from me, and, you know, it was, I've known the guy for a couple of years and comes from a different church background, but, you know, he came over and was talking to me the other day. He had his, was having problems with his truck and wanted to stop by, and he said, well, he said, I tell you what, I at the first of the year, I started my Read the Bible in a Year program. And well, I said, well, how's that going for you? I said, I started mine at the first of the year, too, and we've been talking about it, and it's been really interesting because we've been talking about it back and forth, and we've been able to have several conversations for it, you know, and this is something that he was, his brother was moved to put a campaign together to read the Bible in a year, and he started it and put it out to his church and to a couple other churches and had some stuff printed out and you know, talked to a lot of people about it, and you know, he said that he'd do it, you know, and it's just, you know, that's got to be the Holy Spirit moving for, you know, to be able to talk to just, I mean, how it's just so random to talk to somebody that started doing that on the first year. It used to be that you'd run into people that would plan on doing it, but it was something they just would decide to do it, and they'd start doing it no matter when. But, you know, I've run into several people that aren't even associated with the ministry that, you know, just decided at the first of the year that they were going to read the Bible in a year. So, I don't know. I think that's encouraging.
It is. It is. You know, we've prayed for that. We pray that, you know, God will call more people, that God will call and open the eyes of the remnant. It's exciting when you see your prayers answered, when you see, even in the midst of this world that we're in and the times that we're in, it is exciting to see people come to, even if it's just the realization of needing to read the Bible, you know, I think that's a desire to draw near to God.
Absolutely.
You know, it's hard to keep your mind focused on these things when you're you know, in the world 9 days a week. It's very hard to do that. You know, it's easy to be focused on the things of the world when we're in the world. Had a scripture verse I just read this morning. I had it's been on my phone for a while, and it's Colossians 3:1 from the King James. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you know, if you've been risen with Christ, if you've died that watery death, symbolically dying with Christ, then you've risen with him. And if you've risen with him, the higher things are the things we're to be focused on. Right? Not the lower things. Not the more base things, but we are to be we are to surround ourselves and to concentrate on the, as it says there, the higher things, the greater things. And as you said, Jason, praying for wisdom and discernment. That has to be a part of it. That's how we get it. You know, our pastor taught us, you have not because you ask not. But when you ask, he will give it to you. You know, how many times have we heard of people saying, you know, hey, I was searching for truth and I found this ministry. You know?
Very common.
All the time. And you know, if you pray, that's one thing that you read through the Word. You know, when his people turn to him, whether individually or as a group or a town or a nation, when his people turn to him, when they ask of him, he answers. And so if you're out there asking for truth, he's going to give it to you. Now what you do with it,
battle comes in. Yeah. You know, flesh versus spirit. Because like that discernment that Jason was talking about, sometimes the spirit will tell you something that your flesh doesn't want to believe.
Right.
Because, well, for thousands of different reasons. And so that's where that that battle starts, at least on that subject of, you know, your flesh doesn't want to believe what the obvious. I mean, how many times did Pastor Peter say, I've seen the signs the whole time, you know, but I ignored them, and it bit me, you know, and that's happened to all of us, you know. I mean, does that mean to, you know, to stop and quit?
Yeah, I agree.
That just means to battle more, you know. What right. I mean, so much of the battle is in our mind. I mean, it just, there's no getting away from it, you know.
Amen. Amen. One way to surround yourself with things that are higher, as I read there, is, you know, what we've been telling you to do, what we've been trying to encourage you to do, and that's read your Bible. You heard Jason talk about the Bible reading plan. We'll just touch base on it. We have a year-long Bible reading plan that we mailed out to everyone that gets our Dragon Slayer newsletter, and you should be getting those. That went out in Monday's mail, so you should be getting those in the mail. If you haven't, should be in today, maybe Monday's mail at the latest. And included in that Dragon Slayer newsletter that has a brand new updated cover that we're still working on, but we wanted to share that with you. Hope you like it. But inside there is the 2015 Bible reading plan. And if you're following it, you know, and if you're just now getting it, hey, you're a month behind, but that's better than being 2 months behind. And so it if you haven't started yet, it's not going to take you too long to get back and read through Genesis and Exodus. It's not. Because that's about where you should be wrapping up today. And then starting Leviticus, and you'll read through Leviticus and Numbers in February. And we encourage you to do it. It's how you can draw near to God. And you know, I just have to think, well, and I really think I know, if we were putting out shooting classes and tactical firearm classes and, you know, how to modify your shotgun and how to reload this, and you know, we'd probably get more phone calls and more oh man, yeah, and I like to do those things. You know, you guys know me, I do, and Jason, we know you, you're the biggest gun nut of all of us. And I say that with love and compassion. You know, we love those things. And by all means, it's not that you don't maybe have that part of your arsenal, part of your daily life. But drawing near to God, understanding His Word, reading His Bible, if we don't have that as the foundation, and if we don't make sure that foundation is always solid and continuing to add upon that, you know, it doesn't matter what we do with firearms. It doesn't matter what we do, you know, build a wall on the border. Those things, you know, become secondary, because the reason the Pope's walking over with the illegals is because of our sin. You know, it's not because we don't have enough shotguns. Although cheaper than dirt's got some really nice ones on sale right now, I just noticed. But it's not. It's because of the sin of our people. And if we'll go back and read the Word, and that's what we're trying to encourage you to do, Remnant. Read the Word, you know, and you'll see. You'll read about you will see Jesus Christ in Genesis and in Exodus. And as you read through, we're fixing to get into Leviticus this next month. You will see Him. You will learn greater things about Jesus Christ from the Word if you'll go back and read it. We also have a monthly, and we got a phone ringing. We'll get right to you, caller. We also have a monthly, you know, Bible reading plan that we're printing out here and probably going to be sending them out with orders just as an encouragement. And that's also up at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And on the left-hand side of the home page, you can see Bible reading. And if you click there, it'll give you the monthly Bible reading plan. And so it's kind of like that struggle between the flesh and the spirit. You know, here's some godly advice, good godly advice. Print out the Bible reading plan and read your Bible. That's up to you whether you do that or not. Well, let's take this caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Make sure I got the button pushed. Good morning, caller. Are you there?
Hey, good morning, Phyllis. This is Willis over in Illinois.
Hey, good morning, Willis.
You guys on the radio this morning? I just thought I'd make a quick comment about one of the big problems that I think our people are suffering, and that is the problem with tolerance. We've grown so, as a...
Amen.
grown so tolerant of everything. We're, you know, tolerant of the multiracial marriages and tolerant of other religions and tolerant of other people coming in and just tolerant.
Yep. Tolerant of sin.
Right.
I heard a good one-liner here a week or so ago, and I went ahead and wrote it on the whiteboard at work so everybody that walked by could look at it. And that is that tolerance is the fruit of a man with no conviction. And if that's one good thing about this Bible reading course, I'll read the Bible in a year, I think, is if people can start to become intolerant of just one thing, that maybe it'll open their minds to be intolerant of other things. You know, and the Bible teaches us to be intolerant of other religions. And if we can just get some people to think of being intolerant of other religions, because we're called out to be, to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. That means we're supposed to be intolerant of other religions, period. So if we can teach people to do that, maybe they can start to open their eyes a little bit and be intolerant of sin and intolerant of multiracial marriages and intolerant of this lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual garbage going throughout the land. And I just think it's a first step. You've got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, you think of it, it just be intolerant of all transgression of God's law. Too many times we pick and choose what we're going to be intolerant with because we're not doing that, or we don't have somebody else doing that that we like.
Right.
I mean, so we pick and choose what we're intolerant with. I'm not even talking about the ones that aren't that are intolerant of everything. I mean, but we pick and choose, and that's part of the problem, because, you know, we don't want to look at ourselves and look at everything that we got to work on first. Before I'm intolerant with what Richard does wrong, first I better be intolerant what I'm doing wrong. And that's sure. Part of the issue, too, because then that keeps people from saying anything, because they'll say to a drunkard, don't get drunk, and the drunkard will say back, well, don't lie. And then and we're all condemning ourselves, really, you know, because we're not judging and examining ourselves and repenting of our sins, you know, immediately, or at least right. Every Sunday or whatever, but because there's a lot of people that are intolerant. They just pick and choose what they're intolerant of. And that's kind of a, you know, that's that old Pharisee hypocritical way of being, too, because, you know, they do whatever they want, you know, and but they tell you how you're supposed to live, you know, and that's a big issue with our people, instead of just looking at ourselves.
You know, Willis, when you said that, the thought occurred to me about that we need to be intolerant of our sinful thoughts and our sinful ways, you know, and not tolerate it in our lives, you know, be disciplined. And I think that's where it starts, because once we can do that, well then, yeah, we can say, you know, listen, you're not going to do that. Or, you know, many times I've done that with language. You know, you get around somebody, whether it's at a job site or wherever, and all of a sudden you start hearing this language, and you know, you cannot tolerate that. You can say, hey, wait, you know, you don't have to talk like that, or at least don't talk like that around me. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a start. I agree wholeheartedly. We need to be a non-tolerant people, because aren't we made in God's image? You know,
I think if we can, like you guys are saying, if we look at our own lives and we can become intolerant, it forces us to come into that self-examination.
I mean, our whole goal, I think, as a Christian believer, a true Christian believer, should be to help change people from the error of their ways. Mm-hmm. You know, but with that, we should hope that we get changed from the error of our ways. And it's to save a soul from death, is what it says, you know. And if that's the goal, you know, then we will be intolerant of all things. Now, some things we won't know we need to be until maybe somebody else, you know, knocks you on the head and says, hey, McFly, you need to stop doing this.
Right.
And you have to say, I never thought about it. You're right. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, and it's basic common sense that we really just sometimes we just ignore, mm-hmm. you know. It's so easy to hammer the other guy.
Yeah,
you know. I mean, it's
well,
just,
like you said, the drunk or the adulterer yeah. or the, you know, the fornicator or something. And you know, and we should. Hey, listen, you know, you're not going to do that. You know, whether it's in my, you're not going to do that in my house. You're not going to do that around me. And that, you know, that goes a long way, Willis. I'm glad you brought that up because it does. Because it lets the person, whether it's a brother or sister or just some bum out there, it shows them that standard. You know, it shows them that standard that, hey, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. But we do have to make sure we don't hesitate to look in the mirror when we do that.
Yep. Amen to that. That's why we're called the overcomers. Like Pastor Peter said years ago, the greatest thing we got to have to overcome is something to overcome.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's got something that they need to overcome. So it's like the daily walk.
Amen. That's probably an understatement.
Amen.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend, and glad to hear you on the radio. And I'm looking forward to. Hearing a Sad Luck show coming up here fairly soon. I'm getting a little, craving a live show on Tuesday nights.
So. All right. Well, appreciate that, Willis.
Hey, you guys have a blessed weekend. Looking forward to hearing you tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
Goodbye.
And the number, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this Saturday morning. Last chance you get to call in January 2015 to a live program.
Sometimes we can't see. I mean, even when we look in the mirror and we, you know, we can't see some of our own problems. I mean, I don't know why that is, but sometimes we just can't, you know. And so we can help each other out, you know. We can tell each other, you know, and that's... That's a tough thing because, you know, pride and the flesh enter in. But if we can suffer it, you know, if we can suffer somebody saying, man, you need to quit doing this. Mm-hmm. And there's suffering involved. Maybe not nothing compared to what Christ suffered, but there's suffering involved. It would, and then say, you know, and sometimes you might not even agree. But all you have to do is say, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to work on that part of me. And you'll be a better person. You'll be a better Christian. You'll be a better father, husband. I mean, it'll go on down the line.
I agree with you 100%, Kyle. Have you ever done that, though?
I tried.
Is that the reply you got?
And
you
know, try
thank
is.
You, thank you for sharing that with me, Kyle. You know, I'm well, sorry. But
and
I'm gonna
part of that can be a problem. It could be, well, hey, you didn't do it with enough gentleness, you know?
Yeah.
Because we are to do that, you know. I mean, there's times where we're not to do that, you know. But we are to do that. So it's a never ending battle that we just need right. to keep working on.
And if you said something like that to a brother or a sister, you know, would that be because you love that brother or
Hopefully.
Sister, or because you hate that brother or sister?
Hopefully, love.
Hopefully, love.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully, love. Well, 307-745-5913 is the number, and we are to gently correct. Had another verse I thought was kind of along that lines. It's Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And we've talked about that before, you know. And when it comes to salt. Usually, some people like a little more than others, you know.
But you still have to harmonize the scripture. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Because it says, rebuke an elder sharply, you know, in front of everybody so that others will fear getting rebuked. I mean, there's more to it than just a one-sided, lopsided Judeo-Christian love everybody and be gentle to everybody. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
But that's still...
And I think it ties in with what Willis brought up about tolerate, you know, intolerant and what we tolerate. If we tolerate sin, because God is patient, but he really doesn't tolerate sin, because the wages of sin is death. Just because it doesn't come immediate doesn't mean that God's tolerant of that.
Didn't come immediate for Adam.
No, he's patient. Yeah. You know, the Bible says he's patient, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But he doesn't tolerate sin. You know, if I sin when I sin, he doesn't tolerate that. I pay for that, and each and every one of us do. We may not see it immediately, you know, but he's put it in that, like you mentioned, you know, that we can come to the communion table. We can come and we can seek and remember his son that died for us to save us from that sin, to cleanse us from that sin. And we can go to that table and ask for forgiveness and reset our DG, as the pastor taught on, and kind of reset, reload, and go out again. And that's what we have to do. Let's go to the caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Well, good morning there, Richard. This is Ernest out here in Missouri. I know you don't hear from me very often, but you got
Ernest.
A good show going on this morning.
Well, appreciate that, Ernest. Hey, let me pour you a cup of coffee while you're here.
Hey,
thanks
I've
for
got
joining us.
A cup right here. Thank you.
It's overflowing now.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you kind of hit on a subject, and I mean, there's been a few things coming to me here of late, but one of them is, yes, I'm a slow learner, but fear God. Okay, everybody's got all kinds of interpretations from respect to whatever else, but you know, I was being, how best to put this. I had a neighbor making an approach to me, because I'm single. But the thing is, here I am, I sit in my little trailer house all by myself, 5 days a week, and I'm quite content to do so. I don't, you know, I have a peace about me where it doesn't trouble me. So anyway, I finally had to explain to her. She says, well, look, I wish you was like you used to be. I said, the way I used to be was a man going to hell. But the thing is, I said, I'm afraid to. She says, what do you mean? I said, look, I said, I had to have my nose drugged through the gravel in order to get to where I am. And if I did this outside of marriage, I'm afraid he would do it again. And I said, I don't want to go there. So you know something? For the first time, I understood what peace that goes beyond understanding means and what the fear of God means.
Amen.
So that's for anybody that ever wanted to have some understanding of what is fear of God? Well, that's fear of God. If you think you might have to go through it again.
Yeah, the two verses that come to mind, Ernest, is Ecclesiastes 12, 13, where it says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because mm-hmm. this applies to every person. You know, and what goes along with that to me is Luke 12:4-5, where it says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that have no more they can do, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And that is so ignored by the church world.
It is.
And just like you said, I mean, people will say, well, that means reverence. That means, and I'm not saying it doesn't.
It does.
But I'm telling you that you better fear what God can do to you.
Right.
Because he's the creator.
Now, right. After confessing this, after when I confessed this openly to her, it dawned on me. Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah. Well, that's good that she did that, because many won't.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do what I used to do. I mean, I used
right,
to have
absolutely.
A revolving door around here.
Yeah, and that's how we are to be when we have, as we read earlier, when we've risen with Christ, when we've died with him and risen with him again, the old man is dead, and the new man, we have to, it's not that we don't sin, but we don't run towards it. We don't embrace it.
That's
we
right.
don't tolerate
it. Like I told her, I said, I might fall. I said, I'm not saying I won't fall one of these days, but the thing is, I'm going to get up and I'm going to repent and not pursue it.
Amen.
And I said, I'm not going to go there, nor do I want to go there, because you got an entanglement that you can't hardly get out of. And that's the way sin's webs are. They entangle you.
Yes.
That you just can't seem to get out. One other thing I was thinking about the other day that I noticed, you know, the old Roman Empire was supposed to rise back up to 10 nations, and that was the EU countries. And I got to thinking, well, there's just too darn many countries involved in this EU. Well, now I see how these countries, these excess countries, are now looking to pull out of the EU. So I see it's all coming about as prophecy. And when I sit back and look, there are so many prophecies going on right now. It's not funny. A blind man could see this, but who are you going to tell? Because they'll think you're nuts anyway.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's just it, Ernest. The majority of the so-called Christians in America are blind, and they don't see it. You know, they believe their prosperity gospel preacher that tells them that God just, all he wants to do is bless them. And all they have to do is love each other and love the Antichrist, and everything will be good. And the people, you know, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the people love to have it so. And that's another prophecy that is coming true right now, that has been coming true and is. And it's exciting to see it. It's sad, because when the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the pit, and they're headed for the pit. This nation is headed for the pit.
That is just the way it is right now. I mean, I tell people, I said, you got so many churches out here, and I said, look at the morality of this nation and all white nations. And I don't see how a person can keep from mourning when they see what's going on. You know, I mean, I know it's God's judgment, and we ought to be thrilled to see these things happening, but the thing is, you can't help but mourn to see what's going on and how many people are lost.
Sigh and groan.
Yes, sigh and groan.
That's all you can do. But anyway, guys, I just wanted to put my 2 cents in this morning and wish you a good day, and thanks for the cup of coffee.
Sure, Ernest, thanks for calling. Thanks for joining us, brother.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Don't everybody talk at once.
The mark of God is those that sigh and groan over what's going on. And there's a lot to sigh and groan about. Not to get discouraged about, but to sigh and groan. Because, like you said, it's encouraging to see prophecy being fulfilled, but it's sad.
It is. It is. I'd much rather be reading it, you know, the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28. I'd much rather that we were living that as a nation, you know, because it's available for the nation.
It is
because you see it. You see this in people. You know, you see that when people, when individuals or families do their best, do they keep all the law? Do they keep it all? No, but they do their best to obey, as it says there. If you diligently obey the Lord your God, he'll set you high above all the nations of the earth. And, you know, we don't have that in the nation, but you see it in individuals at times. When they do their best to turn away from the world, as Ernest said, yeah, you might fall, you know, but you don't embrace it. You might, and if you find yourself in sin, it's like if you find yourself in that hole, stop digging. You know, that's the first thing to do, and to confess your sin. You know, you don't have to you don't have to do it out loud to 400 people. You know, but if you confess it to yourself and you confess it to our God, and then you do your best to not do it again. And Jason, as you said earlier, you know, you pray for wisdom, you pray for discernment in, you know, even if it's just in that, in turning away and being strengthened to be turned away from that sin. And then the thought comes to mind when Christ told Peter? He said, now, when you return, because you're fallen, you're going over the cliff, and you're falling fast and hard. But when that's over, when you recover, and when you're better, and when I think you've repented, I think would apply there, strengthen the brethren. You know, because once you've gone through it, well then you have some experience. And you can counsel others, you can help others, you can teach others about it. You know, maybe how to avoid it.
Maybe.
Well, I got all my coffee drank today. How about you guys?
Jason,
did you finish your cup down there?
I did.
Good. Yeah, I did too. You guys got any snow down there?
No snow.
Yeah,
got a little chilly last night, but no snow. I was thinking yesterday it felt like it was going to, but we didn't have any show up.
Yep. Well, the other thing we have for you, Remnant, we've talked to you about this Bible reading plan, but we've also got another pamphlet for you, another treatise, another weapon in your arsenal. Comes from a message that the pastor did several years ago, and it's called Christians Who Are Offended by Jesus. When you get your newsletter, you'll see it on the inside back cover, and pretty sharp color cover, if I may say so. And Jason got it printed down there on the new printers. And I think it'll be a benefit to you if you'll order the book, just a little treatise, 28, 30 pages. Comes from the sermon that the pastor did by that same name, Christians Who Are Offended by Jesus. And, you know, we get offended. You know, we get offended by what people say. We get offended by what people do, and we get offended by what people don't do at times. And, you know, if we get offended at each other, we just have to, you know, hopefully forgive and forget and move on and, you know, hopefully address it. You know, hey, brother, you did this and that offended me. The Bible talks about all that. But we don't want to be offended by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't want to be offended by anything he said, by anything he did. And if we find ourselves, maybe something that we read about Christ, and you start reading about Christ in Genesis 1:1, we have to remember that. But if we find something in this word that offends us, that bothers us, that might be a hindrance to us, you know, we need to do, and Jason, I come back to you with, we need to pray for wisdom and discernment. That we are not offended, and if we are, that we overcome it. You know, there's nothing in here that we should have to go to Christ and say, you know, this offended me, or this is a stumbling block to me, or, you know, he is a stumbling block and a rock of offense to those that don't know him. But anyway, pastor did an excellent job. Scriptures all through this. About being offended and not being offended by Jesus Christ. So, new booklet, first time in print. We were hoping to get it out a few months ago. We've kind of been working on it for a while, but we have it out. It's available in the next Dragon Slayer newsletter, and we'll try to get it up on the cart at the website this following week as well. But I think you'll enjoy it. I think you will. And as we're wrapping up this morning, just got a couple minutes left. If you don't get that Dragon Slayer newsletter, that has the Bible reading plan in it. This volume one does, and the ad for this new booklet, Christians Who Are Offended by Jesus. It's free, but it's not free. We don't charge for it. We'll send it out to you for free. And we're able to do that because of the faithful remnant that tithe and support this ministry here with their tithes and donations. But we'd be glad to send you that newsletter. And if you want it, send us an email. Our email address here is preacher@sfaw.org. And drop us an email and say, hey, send me that newsletter. Our mailing address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our web address, scriptures4america.org. And you can go there and take a look right there on the homepage and read the newsletter. See this new cover that we're telling you about. And
yeah, a couple of things. The scripture that comes to mind when you're talking about that little pamphlet is when the Apostle Paul said that he'll become a stumbling block to the Jews, which and foolishness to the Gentiles. And to many of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Gentiles, that he's referring to there, for instance, it's foolishness to them to pray for their sick and not go to the doctor.
Yes.
You know, that is being offended by Christ. I mean, just the title of the book, in case you don't understand, there's many ways to be offended by praying over your food before you eat. To many Gentiles who say they're Christians, that's foolishness to them. They don't do it.
Right.
They definitely won't do it in a restaurant, you know, because they don't want to look like a fool, is what they think, you know. And so there's many ways to be offended by Christ without even knowing it. And that's just what came to mind when you're talking about it. You know?
No, thanks for sharing that. It is. It's something to think about. It really is. It really is. So, well, we're out of time. Hey, and come and join us at church tomorrow. Again, scriptures4america.org at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. Join us. And we'd love to have you there joining us at church on Sunday morning. You can do that right there, scriptures4america.org. Well, Jason, thanks for joining us. Kyle, thank you. Remnant, we thank you for joining us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for joining us. And join us for church tomorrow. We hope you will. Thanks for tuning in.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating,
parking will be waiting at the end of our ride.